Welcome to Tuan.
What has happened?
Thy return is timely, Tuan. Thy people have need of thee.
Even now, after so long a time, it's difficult to believe I shall never hear Jim's voice again. The end was romantic beyond the wildest dreams of his boyhood fancy. And yet, there is, to my mind, a sort of profound and terrifying logic in it. Jim had left the world he knew, but the world would not leave him in peace. From the hour Gentleman Brown and his ragged crew of human detritus violated the tranquility of Patusan, his forest kingdom, Jim's appointment with his destiny became inevitable.
Lord Jim by Joseph Conrad, dramatized in 6 episodes by Keith Darville, with Simon Treves as Jim and David March as Marlowe. Episode 6.
Where are these white men?
On the hill, Tuan, beyond the stream that runs by the stockade.
How many?
10, perhaps 12. That 2 died is certain.
And Dain Waris, where is he?
He is not here, Tuan.
Where is he, then? He's not hurt, is he?
No, Tuan, he is safe. In the battle on the river, he fought bravely, but he was not hurt.
So where is he?
Down the river, Tuan. He has made camp on Patingi Island with 50 men. It was the command of his father, Doramin. The elders feared lest there would be more barbarians on the shore where their great ship is. There was fear lest more white men came in search of those on the hill. Therefore, Dain Waris has gone to secure the river approach. Dost thou approve, Tuan?
Yes, the plan is sound.
But Dain Waris was not happy, Tuan. He wished to remain here lest there would be more fighting.
Jim! Jim!
Hello, old girl. I hear you've become a warrior with the men.
Thou shouldst have seen it, Tuan. When the barbarians came, she roused the people, made them imitate the action of a tiger, as thou didst before.
I'm proud of you.
I was afraid. Afraid these white men take you away.
Oh, there's no fear of that, Jewel. It is not me they want.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. I'm sure.
What do you do now?
I must talk to them.
No! No, they kill you!
Oh, I think not. Tambi Yitam.
Tuan.
Come with me. But keep well back behind me. Jewel, make sure that no one follows. Clear?
The white men have guns.
Clear?
Clear.
What's all the hullabaloo down there?
Joy. Their lord has returned to them.
How do I get to him, Brother Cornelius?
I know anything. He will come to you.
Just come strolling down, do you mean?
Yes. He is just like a stupid fool. He's not afraid of anything. He say, you must leave his people alone. Everybody must leave his people alone. He is like little child.
There's movement down there.
See where he comes. That's him. Look.
Yank, is your rifle loaded, darling heart? You're the evil.
Good, good. You tell Don Mami Don to shoot him, yes? You just kill him. And all the people fear you. Make you new Tuan, yes? So, Honorable Sir, please to kill him dead, like good Christian man.
Brother Cornelius. You harbor wicked thoughts. You'll never get to heaven. Yank, cover me. He's coming into the open. I'm going down.
They met, I should think, not very far from the place, perhaps on the very spot where Jim had taken the second desperate leap of his life. They faced each other across the creek, and with steady eyes tried to understand each other before they opened their lips. Brown hated Jim at first sight.
He hated him for the very neatness of his clothes, the white helmet, the canvas leggings, and the pipe-clayed shoes. Whatever hopes he had vanished at once. This was not the kind of man he had expected to see.
Who are you?
My name's Brown, Captain Brown, known as Gentleman Brown. What's yours?
My name does not matter. What made you come here?
Hunger. What made you?
That is none of your concern.
All right. Let's have one thing straight, boy. You think I'm a dead man already? I'd better tell you there's a Yankee on the hill with a bead drawn on you. So we're both dead men, right? We can talk as equals. The first thing to say, my lovely, is that I'm not going to beg for my life. And neither, goddammit, am I going to let you sit down and count us as we starve, one by one. So, you're 200 to 1. Either make your move with your baboons there, or let us take our chances in the open sea. You've been white once, so don't be a coward now. I'm no coward, but I'll be damned before I wander off into the jungle like a living skeleton for the ants to go to work on.
You don't deserve a better fate.
And what do you deserve? I came here for food. What did you come for, I wonder? Do you think you're too good to live out there with the rest of us? Anyway, that's your affair. All we ask is one thing only. Give us a fight or a clear road.
I'm prepared to fight with you any time.
And you can shoot me and welcome. This is as good a jumping off place as another. But that's too easy. My men are all in the same boat. By God, I'm not the sort to jump out of trouble and leave them in the damned lurch.
To me, the conversation of these two across the creek appears now as the deadliest kind of duel on which fate looked with her cold-eyed knowledge of the end. Brown had a satanic gift for finding out the best and weakest spots in his victims.
Your people started all this, you know, letting loose from both banks without stopping to ask questions. It was only bad luck and disaster at sea that drove us up this river.
And the man you killed?
At least he went cleanly. One of our men was 6 hours a dying with his guts ripped out. We had to listen to it all. Anyway, that makes us even, doesn't it? It was bad luck. Just bad luck. When it comes down to basics, when we're in a spot, when it's down to saving your life in the dark, do we really care who else goes? 3, 30, or 300 people? You've gone quiet over there. Well, haven't you?
Will you promise to leave the coast?
Done.
And surrender your arms?
Ah. Now, that's different. These guns and a few breech loaders on board are all I've got in the world to my name. I expect to sell the lot in Madagascar. Sorry, my beauty. You'll have to rip them from our dead hands.
I don't know if I have the power.
No, he tells us. Oh, that's very good, boy. What did you come here for? To pass the time of day?
Very well, Captain Brown. You shall have a clear road or a straight fight. I'll let you know.
Good day to you, my lovely lord.
Tambiyitam, come with me.
One?
Yes?
We fight, yes?
I must talk with Duramin.
No, Tuan, fight! Fight now! It is but one more hill to take.
I must talk with Duramin.
He didn't die. Why do you not kill him?
Because, Brother Cornelius, I can do better.
Do Tuan Jim, I have talked with my elders. I have listened to the voice of my people. They say, do away with these white men. The white men with beards are evil beings.
My friends, we have known each other for a long time now. We have been comrades in peace and war. Is that not so? And in all that time, there has never once been disagreement between us. I would be unhappy if there were disagreement now. At this moment, the white men are on the hill, and they are waiting for an answer from me. I have spoken to their chief in the language of my own people. Many things were said, which it is difficult, impossible even, to explain in any other speech. Before we make up our minds, therefore, I want you to think on this. You say they are evil men. Well, it is true they have done bad things, but they are also men who have suffered greatly, and suffering can cause a blindness, not of the body, but of the spirit. A blindness to the laws of right and wrong. You say lives have been lost. You demand vengeance, therefore. But if we fight them, even more lives will be lost. There will be even greater suffering. Many of you here in this hall may tomorrow grieve the loss of a son or a brother. Is that really what you want? I do not have to tell you that your welfare is my welfare. Your losses, my losses. Your mourning, my mourning. We have fought and worked side by side. You know me. You know I do not lack courage. And you know, too, that I have never deceived you. Never once in all my time in this land I love have I deceived you, the people I love. Have I ever advised you ill? Have my words brought suffering to the people? Well, have they? Answer me. Today, I ask you once more to trust me. I believe it would be best all round if we let the white men with beards go with their lives. It would be a small gift, the gift of mercy. I ask you, my friends, to let them go. And I will add one thing more. If any harm should come to any one of you as a result of letting them go now, I am ready with my life. Chief Duranin, what do you say?
I am not certain.
Then send for your son, Dain Waris. Let my friend Dain Waris lead the attack, for I will not lead in this business.
Banjin! So be it. Let the white men go.
Who's there?
Captain Brown. It is Mr. Cornelius.
Let it through.
I have a message for you. I am chosen for proficiency in English tongue.
And what is the verdict?
It is the clear road to the sea. When your longboat floats on the morning tide, then you start. You are warned that armed men will be on riverbanks, so no tricks.
And it is goodbye, my excellent friend. Let them on your barber, no.
Captain Brown, I could tell you something you'd like to know.
What is that, Brother Cornelius?
10 miles downriver is war party led by Dain Waris, son of Doramin.
To hell with that high and mighty Jim. Is he thinking of double-crossing me?
Not him. Too much of a fool. But
what?
One thing you should know, maybe. Dain Waris is man who chased you up this hill, made you look stupid.
Damn his eyes.
Something else I know.
Brother Cornelius, you have an unholy look in your eyes.
You say to me, Mr. Cornelius, is there another way out of the river? I say, yes, honorable sir, there is another way out of the river, a backwater. It passed close behind Dain Wari's camp. You will have to be quiet, though.
My beautiful boys can be quiet as mice sometimes, never fear. And you know this back way.
Very well, honorable sir. I have to get back quick. After.
Hello, girl.
Hello, boy.
Is there food?
Of course. I fetch.
Jewel. You'll be officer commanding the compound again tonight.
Where you'll be?
Down by the stockade. There's no sleep for us tonight, old girl. Not till I've seen those blighters on their way.
I fetch food.
Tambi Yitam.
Tuan.
I have a special job for you.
Tuan.
I want you to take a canoe and set off, an hour before Brown's crew leave. Get down to Dain Waris and tell them everything is in order and to let the longboat through. When that's done, they're to strike camp and come home. Understood?
Yes, Tuan.
It was 2 hours before dawn when word was passed to the stockade that the white robbers were coming down to their boat. In a very short time, every armed man from one end of Patusan to the other was on the alert. A heavy mist lay very low on the water, making a sort of elusive grey light that showed nothing. When Brown's longboat glided out of the creek into the river, Jim was standing on the low point of land before the stockade.
Brown!
Yes?
You'd better trust to the current while the fog lasts. It'll lift presently.
Right, lovely lad! There you will! Careful, lads, careful!
Brown!
What now?
If you think it worth your while to wait a day offshore, I'll try to send you something down. Bullocks, some yams, what I can.
Yes! Yes, sir!
Perhaps you get small bullock, small yam. If he says so, you do. Here, thief, stole everything I have.
Holy cow, will you shut up?
Want me to sling him over, boss?
Throw me out, eh? I know where I am. I lived here many years.
Not long enough to see through a fog like this, Brother Cornelius.
Long enough for that.
Can you find the backwater blindfold like this?
You too tired to row?
No, by God. I'll put your oars there, you scum.
Give me the
back into it. You'll have your chance to get in with those baboons before we're done. You just won't triple your dogs. Whoa!
What's that? Tambi Yitam with a message from Tuan Chim. Where is Dain Waris?
I am here, Tambi Yitam. Welcome. What is your news?
The news is good.
Oh, dost thou say so? I am glad. Here we have seen nothing. I respect my father, Duramin, but he was in error. There are no more barbarians at the coast. We have seen only the alligators. So say, Tambi Yitam, hath Tuan Jim killed the invaders?
No, Dain Waris.
No?
Tuan Jim's command is that the barbarians shall go in peace.
In peace, dost thou say?
It is his will.
Thou art not mistaken.
No. His words were, let the white man with the long beards go. They must not be harmed. When they have passed this island, thou and thy men take thy boats and return.
This does not please me.
Nor I. I would take their heads to decorate my house.
Oh, thou speaks truly, Tambi Yitam. They are like the snake. Alive, they are always dangerous.
After hearing all he had to say, Dain Waris dismissed Tambi Yitam to have food and rest. Then he himself lay down, open-eyed, on a raised couch made of bamboo. The morning sun was soon eating up the mist. It was then that Gentleman Brown took his revenge.
Let them have it! Be on!
Tambi Yitam told me that except for those who were dead or wounded, not a soul of them moved for quite an appreciable time. Then a blind panic drove the men in a surging, swaying mob to and fro along the shore, like a herd of cattle afraid of water. He said that he understood at the first volley what had happened. He fell down and lay as if dead, but with his eyes open. At the sound of the first shots, Dain Maurice jumped up and ran out upon the open shore, just in time to receive a bullet in his forehead.
He's fired! He's firing, Daniel!
Time to leave, I think. Lovely lads. Goodbye, Brother Cornelius. A kick for your hat!
Back to the bat! Back to the bat!
When Tambi Itam arose from the dead, he saw Cornelius running up and down the shore amongst the corpses and expiring fires. Suddenly, he made frantic efforts to get one of the native boats into the water.
Cornelius, you insect!
No! No! Nothing! No.
Tambi Itam did not tarry after that. He understood the importance of being first with the news. He ran to his canoe.
Tuan, awake.
What is this, Tuan?
It is I, Tambi Itam.
What's happened?
This, Tuan, is a day of evil. An accursed day.
Speak out, man.
They have killed Dain Maurice and many more.
Dain Maurice?
Was the most cruel treachery.
Go over to the village. Rouse the men immediately. We must get the boats out. We might still catch them. Move, man. Why do you just stand there?
Forgive me, Tuan, but...
What?
It will not be safe for thy servant to go out amongst the people.
Then Jim understood. He had retreated from one world, and now the other, the work of his own hands, had fallen in ruins upon his own head. It was not safe for his servant to go out amongst his own people.
Duramin.
I believe that in that very moment, Jim decided to defy disaster. The dark powers should not rob him twice of his peace.
See, Duramin, the body of thy son.
The bodies have come back. There is much weeping.
Much anger, too. We shall have to fight.
Fight? What for?
For our lives.
I have no life.
Not true.
Time to finish this.
So, you go. Do you remember? You said you'd never leave me. I asked for no promise. You promised. Remember?
Enough, girl. I should not be worth having.
Then, Hassan, will you defend yourself?
No, Jewel.
No.
Leave go.
No, no, no.
Tambi Itam, help me.
No.
Jewel, I must go.
Canoe is ready, Tuan.
Forgive me, Jewel.
Never. Never.
Show me the body of Dain Maurice.
Here, Tuan.
Goodbye, my friend.
He has taken it upon his own head.
Yes, upon my head. Duramin, your son lies dead, and I am come in sorrow. I am come ready and unarmed.
Duramin, alone, immense and desolate, sat in his armchair with a pair of flintlock pistols on his knees. The unwieldy old man, lowering his big forehead like an ox under a yoke, made the effort to rise. Then, while Jim stood stiffened and with bared head in the light of the torches, looking him straight in the face, the old man lifted his right arm, shot his son's friend through the chest. The crowd, which had fallen apart behind Jim, as soon as Doramin raised his hand, rushed forward. They say that the white man sent to right and left at all those faces a proud and unflinching gaze. Then, with his hand over his lips, he fell forward. Dead. And that's the end. He passes away under a cloud, inscrutable at heart, forgotten, unforgiven, and excessively romantic. Is he satisfied? I wonder. We ought to know. He is one of us. Was I right? Who knows? He is gone. And Jewel is leading a sort of soundless, inert life in Stein's house. Stein has aged greatly of late, and says often he is preparing to leave all this. Preparing to leave. While he waves his hand sadly at his butterflies.
In the final episode of Lord Jim by Joseph Conrad, the cast was Jim, Simon Treves, Marlowe, David March, Jewel, Moya Leslie, Cornelius, Sean Barrett, Gentleman Brown, Henry Stamper, Tambi Etam, Christopher Douglas, Diane Waris, Robin Summers, Doramin, David Sinclair, and the Yank Pirate, Bernard Brown. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Lord Jim was dramatized in 6 episodes by Keith Darville. The director was Martin Jenkins.